Many years since Mr. Mebberley called upon my services. My colleague remembers him well. Isn't that right, Doctor?
Oh, yes, certainly. Though I don't recall the exact details of the case.
Why should you? It was a very trifling matter, after all. But perhaps you would be more familiar with the name of my son, Douglas.
Of course, I hadn't made the connection. I knew him slightly. But then half London knew Douglas Mebberley. He made a promising start in the diplomatic service and was posted abroad, I fancy.
He was first attaché in Rome until last month, when he died of pneumonia.
Oh, my dear lady, I'm very sorry. Well, it's hard to speak of death and Douglas Mebberley in the same breath. I've never known anyone so intensely alive.
You didn't see him as he became last year. A moody, brooding creature. His heart had been broken. Within 1 month, I saw my gallant boy turn into a worn-out, cynical man.
An unhappy love affair with the wrong woman?
Woman? I should say a fiend. But it was not to talk of my poor boy that I asked you to come here today.
Dr. Watson and I are at your service, believe me.
Thank you. It will be a great relief to have your advice, gentlemen. There have recently been some very strange happenings in this house. I've lived here for more than a year, peacefully enough, until 3 days ago when I had a call from a house agent.
I happened to be passing the house, madam, and the moment I laid eyes upon it, I said to myself, "That's the one," I said.
I beg your pardon?
It's exactly what my client is looking for. The situation, the outlook, the size. How many bedrooms? Well, if you don't mind me asking.
There are 3 principal bedrooms and 2 servants' bedrooms, but I don't quite see one.
Making 5 bedrooms in all. Oh, dearie me, that couldn't be better. My client will be delighted.
But the house is not for sale. I haven't even considered moving.
Then I advise you to consider it now, madam. Very seriously. This property will suit my client down to the ground. And if you're prepared to sell, well, let's just say money will be no object. You can name your own price.
Ah, that is certainly a very handsome offer, but...
You purchased the house a year ago, I believe. And property values have not risen since then. In fact, they have actually fallen slightly in this locality. But I assure you, my client will be very happy to pay you 500 more than you gave for it. You'll be making £500 profit on the transaction. What do you say to that, then, eh?
Certainly sounds very tempting.
No, of course it is. And I'll tell you another thing. My client will take the house lock, stock and barrel, just as it stands, including all contents.
You mean the furniture as well?
Well, yes, that sort of thing.
I realised I'd never get such an opportunity again, so eventually we agreed upon a figure. You see, I've always wanted to travel, and since Douglas has been taken from me, there's nothing to keep me here. The offer was so generous, it would enable me to do as I please for the rest of my life. Well, yesterday morning, the agreement arrived. It seemed quite straightforward. Of course, I showed it to my solicitor, Mr. Sutro, before I signed it. But when the agent returned to complete the transaction yesterday evening...
Something that puzzles you, madam. And what might that be?
Well, when I showed the contract to my solicitor, he examined it carefully, and then he told me something very odd. He said, "Are you aware that if you sign this document, you could not take anything whatever out of the house, not even your personal possessions?"
Ah, well, you did agree to include all the contents of the house, didn't you?
But surely we were referring to furniture, carpets and curtains and so on.
No. All the contents, madam. Everything.
But my clothes? My jewellery?
Well, perhaps some exceptions might be made for personal effects. If you care to drop a list of such items, I dare say we could agree to exclude those. But nothing must go out of this house unless it is specifically listed.